First, new data came out yesterday on how the country's economy is doing from the Bureau of Economic Analysis. It showed a gross domestic product, GDP, that shrunk for the year 2020 3.5%. But there was growth in the fourth quarter, so a sign maybe of some resilience in the economy to end the year going into this year. Along with that, there's some long-term unemployment, not as bad as the early days of the pandemic, but definitely worse than last year at this time. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Where did you find yourself economically at the end of 2020? Struggling, surging, hanging in there? When you want to know how the economy is doing, what do you look to? GDP, jobs numbers, stock market, something on the local level? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Thomas Kemp is chair and professor in the Department of Economics at UW-Eau Claire. Tom, welcome back to Central Time.
Happy to be here, Rob. Happy to be here.
Let's tackle this GDP number first. Bad for the year 2020, worse since World War II, I'm reading. But fourth quarter, maybe some positive signs. What do you make of this one indicator?
Yeah, well, certainly it was expected that GDP would decline across 2020. You know, GDP, of course, is a measure of the total expenditures or total incomes that occur in the economy over a given period of time, in this case, a year or so. You know, with a lot of folks sort of sitting it out, you know, often, you know, not that they want to be sitting it out, but with a lot of folks sitting it out these days, you know, it's almost certain you're going to get a contraction.
How much of a straight line is there between GDP, the gross domestic product, this big measurement, and, you know, the daily economic lives for people? Can we really watch this one indicator and say, yeah, that's affecting my daily life?
Yeah, not really. I mean, the best measure of how your you know, your own little economy is going is just, you know, how you're doing, right? You know, are you able to, you know, do you have a job, right? I mean, I think there, you know, when I was a student, I remember hearing things like it's a recession when my neighbor loses his job, and it's a depression when I lose my job. And, you know, GDP is an aggregate measure, so it doesn't necessarily tell us a lot about what's going on at the individual level. That said, you know, we like sound bites, so that works.
And then mentioning jobs, let's talk about employment numbers. When I look back at charts over the last year, unemployment really pretty low coming into 2020. Skyrocketed in the early days of the pandemic with shutdowns and people, you know, not wanting to go out or travel and things like that. Better now, but not as good as we were a year ago. Can you talk about what you're seeing in our unemployment numbers?
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, things look really rough early on in the year. Boy, I think we talked about it at the time, if I remember rightly.
We did, yeah.
Yeah, but then there was, you know, the ice sort of thawed and people sort of, I think, started to get a handle on this thing. I mean, I don't think really anybody's very happy about the situation we're in, but I think that a lot of employers and employees are learning to manage it. And that's why we're sort of seeing, you know, those numbers rebound and likely to continue that way.
I've seen a lot of concern at this point, Tom, about a long-term unemployment. This has hit certain industries particularly hard, you know, restaurants, entertainment services, things like that. Are you worried that, okay, even as the employment numbers have improved, there is this group of people who maybe for the first time in their lives are facing unemployment, not just for a month or two, but closing in on a year now?
Yeah, absolutely. The longer person's unemployed, you know, the more their skills and talents, you know, they atrophy or they become no longer useful in the workplace. And so, you know, people who find themselves in that extremely unfortunate position, you know, anything that they can do and anything that we can do as a society to ensure that their, you know, skills and talents remain up to date or remain in practice, you know, that's going to aid an eventual recovery for sure. And of course, help those folks out too.
Talking to Thomas Kemp from the Department of Economics at UW-Eau Claire, looking at a lot of economic news out there as The pandemic goes on. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about our overall economy? How have you been affected by the twists and turns in the pandemic? Not on the health side of things, but your employment, your business, if you own one. How has your job been affected, if at all? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Let's go to a caller now. Alex is with us in Prairie du Chien. Alex, hi.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to throw my hat in the ring here. I lost my job in the 2008 recession, and I also lost my job during the pandemic. Obviously, they were about, you know, 9-10 years apart. The first time I lost my job, I did not have an emergency fund, you know, rent and utilities and all that for, you know, 6 months or a year. This time around, I had a very substantial emergency fund, and the difference that it had was absolutely night and day, especially with my mental health, because I don't really have to worry about what the market is doing or the economy. I'm set for a year, and you know, I'm a single male, so it's easy for me, obviously. But with, you know, this materialistic world we're in, perhaps people could, you know, not purchase things and maybe sock that money away for an emergency fund so they feel relaxed in, you know, when the world's in chaos. Thank you.
Alex, thanks for sharing your story. Good luck getting a job back on track. Glad you have the emergency fund in the meantime. And Thomas, I know even before the pandemic, I've had conversations over the years that a lot of people are in that position where they don't have that emergency fund. You know, a $300 hit could be a big deal, much less a month's long job loss. Can you talk about that sort of precarious condition that a lot of people, even employed people, found themselves in?
Yeah, that the caller brings up a really good point. You know, and it's really, really great that he has that emergency fund. That does make things a lot better. I know I usually try to follow that kind of practice in my own life of living a little beneath my means. But it's true, you know, a lot of folks don't have that luxury. There's a whole lot of folks out there that just aren't, you know, they aren't earning, or for whatever reason, they're not able to put aside, you know, funds to develop that sort of rainy day fund, as it were. And so they're, you know, in a really precarious spot when we do have these downturns. You know, now we're in the middle of everything. We're talking about the sort of stimulus plan and everything. When we look at that, you know, a lot of those things in that stimulus plan are designed to sort of carry people over who don't have those emergency funds and are really, really in a tight spot at this point.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. I've seen some positive outlooks, Tom, looking at the last quarter and an uptick. I've seen some people worried that, okay, as enhanced unemployment ran out for a while, now it's picking up again. Some of the initial stimulus money might have helped keep the economy afloat. Most of that's gone, the $600 checks out there. Worries that, you know, as that stimulus dries up and if it's not renewed, that we could be sinking again in the early part of 2021. I want to ask you to predict the future, but what are you watching for to see if that's happening?
Well, hang on. Let me get my crystal ball out here.
Predict if you want, but.
Yeah, that was a very serious concern. Well, remains a very serious concern. It's a lot of the policies that were put into place throughout 2020 were due to run out or will run out in the near future, or have run out in the near past. And that's what's been keeping a lot of folks going. And, you know, when we look at household incomes and things like that, they're actually reasonably stable. But the reason why, you know, things have been reasonably stable and why we're sort of seeing things recover a fair bit has to be in part due to those income continuation programs. And so as long as we're sort of stuck in this sort of holding pattern, it's going to be very hard for us not to continue those things or to put a lot of people in sort of financial calamity.
We're talking with economist Tom Kemp from UW-Eau Claire about the U.S. economy, where we've been, where we are, where we could be going. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about how the elements of today's economy work, about the headlines you see in the news, and how it's all affected you. Were you out of work? Are you out of work because of the pandemic? How has that affected your life? Do you own a business? How is that going? 800-642-1234. And coming up, we're going to check out the stock market and how it does and doesn't reflect the economy. Do you invest in the stock market as an individual? Do you make stock picks? Do you have retirement bound up in it? Or are you not affected directly by the stock market? Call 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Tom Kemp, chair and professor in the UW-Eau Claire Department of Economics, looking at just all that economic news out there and the state of affairs. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Jessica is with us in Eau Claire. Jessica, hi.
Hi. Say, I was wondering as to, in regards to the stimulus checks, how are... I guess I don't understand as to how they're being issued, seeing that the government is so far in debt. How can they start shelling out extra money that, you know, looking at a bank account that we don't have?
Jessica, thanks for the call. Tom, when the government's spending money while already in debt, where's the money come from and what impact can that have on the economy?
Sure, yeah. Well, it's a good question. The details of federal deficit spending are a little dry, but suffice it to say that the federal government can essentially authorize the Treasury to conduct whatever purchases that it wishes. If the federal government does not have sufficient funds on hand to pay for those, then the Treasury will issue debt to cover those additional expenditures. So in other words, it will issue treasury debt out to the public to do that. So just like, you know, if you or I didn't have any cash on hand and we wanted to, you know, go buy something, right, we can borrow that money. It's a little different when the federal government does it. It's actually considerably easier for them, but that's the essence of it.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Before we go back to our callers, Tom, wanted to talk about the stock market that did take a hit early in the pandemic, but then it bounced back in a lot of ways faster than the country did from the pandemic, faster than the unemployment numbers in a lot of ways. I think it hit record levels later in the year. What's going on there?
Yeah, that's it. That's some crazy stuff, boy. And I'm not going to pretend to have all the answers there, especially what's going on in the last couple of days.
And we'll be having another conversation about that.
Yeah, I hear you've got that one coming up. I think it's important for listeners to understand that the values that the stock market, the value of the stock market is not necessarily reflective of the state of the general economy. You know, in theory, right, the value of a stock is sort of the discounted value of the firm's future cash flows. But, you know, of course, you can pull the price of a thing up by a lot of people wanting it too, right? You know, think of any sort of Christmas fad thing, right? Everybody rushes to the store to get it. And the same goes with stocks. And so you could have a situation where the sort of underlying fundamentals of the economy are weaker. I don't want to suggest that they're weak right now, but you could have a situation where they're weaker and the stock price surges because people just think they want it, right? They want to buy those stocks. And, you know, that's clearly part of the story of what's been going on in the last few days. It's not about underlying market fundamentals at all.
And we'll get an explainer on the GameStop, et cetera, story coming up in about half an hour or so. Right now, we're talking about the economy in general. Tom Kemp stays with us, chair and professor at the UW-Eau Claire Department of Economics. And with you at 800-642-1234. Let's go to Sean with us now in Green Bay. Sean, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about, Sean?
I just want to share some insight about the industry that I'm in. I'm a small business owner in the live audio entertainment industry. And basically, a lot of small audio companies like myself are tanking if they have not already tanked due to lack of support from the government, whether it be not being qualified for the PPP because we don't have enough employees, or not having a brick and mortar establishment since we're independent contractors, et cetera. And a lot of my peers have already kind of sunken under and disappeared. And I don't know how I've been doing it, but I'm still staying afloat and paying the bills on my audio company. But it's coming pretty soon. I don't think I'll be able to continue doing it anymore unless we get a little more assistance, because concerts are all but gone now. So,
well, Sean, as a musician and a music fan, I appreciate the work you do. I hope you're able to make it through this. And thank you for sharing your story. Tom, Sean is in one of these categories of businesses hit especially hard by the pandemic. And he's saying the attempts by the government to help those businesses weather the storm here for him and for his peers falling short. Is there more you think that could have been done, could still be done for small businesses that are hit like this?
Yeah, I really feel for Sean and folks who are in similar positions. This has been, you know, toughest on them, and well, tough on a lot of people, but really tough on those smaller businesses. And unfortunately, you know, people fall through the cracks. It's my understanding that at least the main proposal that's being kicked around now does include aid for businesses like Sean's. But, you know, we'll see what the final packages end up looking like. I think there's a lot of folks in that in Sean's position. And I would really hope that policymakers, you know, sort of take those stories seriously, because, you know, the more people we can keep doing what they do well. Right. So the more we can keep people doing the things that they love, doing the things that they have been employed to do, the smoother the eventual recovery from this situation is going to be. If all those folks have to start up new businesses, start up new careers, you know, they're not really going to be able to hit the ground running very effectively, and the recovery will be considerably slower. So anything we can do to keep them, you know, doing their thing, that's going to help in the longer run.
Thanks a lot for that call, Sean. Good luck to you. We'll go to Tony now in Okano County. Tony, hi.
Hello.
Hi, Tony. How are you doing?
Oh, not too bad. I'm actually on the other end of the spectrum. I actually prospered during 2020.
What kind of work do you do?
I'm an independent contractor that drives semi, a company of one person, one truck. And I haul groceries. I haul beef out and usually produce or cheeses back. And I've been running so hard that I barely get home. But I knew that stuff was coming, and I had put all my extra money off to the side, so I've got between 4 to 5 years worth of mortgage payments already in a separate account that I can't touch. So I don't have to worry about that. And I made about $35,000 more last year than I did each of the previous 3 years.
Tony, thank you so much for sharing that story. I appreciate it. I'm glad you're doing well. And Tom, I've seen there's been a shift from experience type businesses like restaurants or concerts, as Sean was talking about, to buying stuff like Tony carries in his truck. And some people have done well with this. Can you talk about who's ended up doing pretty well in the pandemic?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, anybody, you know, first of all, that's a great story. And it's nice to hear that mm-hmm. you know, some folks are doing good with this and have been prudent financial planners. Anybody who's been able to sort of keep working as they regularly would is doing relatively well in all this, because of course there's fewer people doing it. So those folks are having to work longer hours and in some cases get paid more for doing so. Right. And it sounds like the caller has been able to work more hours and also get paid more for doing so. So that's great. That's great to hear. A lot of people are working longer hours and harder that are, you know, salaried folks and aren't getting paid more too. there's a lot of different stories and everything across the spectrum sort of in all this. But I want to go back to the one point that the caller mentioned about sort of living, you know, putting money aside. That's always a good, you know, having, if you can, right? I don't mean to imply that everybody can do this, but if you can, having a bit of a rainy day fund is almost never a bad idea.
Thanks a lot for that call. Time for one more caller. Shannon is with us in Nelson. Shannon, hi.
Hi.
What's your economic story, Shannon?
I just wanted to mention that I run a small business. We are completely e-commerce online here in Wisconsin, where we sell poultry, hatching eggs, that type of thing. And our business in particular is booming. We've quadrupled, if not more, sales since the pandemic, the shutdown last March. And we've hired more people, working longer hours, more pay, that type of stuff. So where I understand there's, and I'm not calling to brag, I'm calling because I just wanted to mention that there are aspects of the pandemic, self-sufficiency to be one of them, that I think has really kind of hit and maybe taught a lesson or whatnot here in Wisconsin as well, and probably throughout the nation. So.
Interesting, Shannon. Thanks for the call. Tom, along those lines, do you think that, you know, we're going to come out of this different? This is going to have a lasting impact. Self-sufficiency businesses like Shannon's are going to be here to stay maybe more than they were before.
Yeah, it's always difficult. Even my crystal ball can't handle that one. Mm-hmm. It's always difficult to predict sort of long run consumer patterns. But, we do know the story of the Great Depression, and we do know that event, yielded a generation of individuals who were more self-sufficient, who did, you know, put aside more of those rainy day funds, who were ready for difficulties, let's say. So it's certainly possible that could happen again coming out of this.
Well, thanks for sharing that story. And Tom, thanks for joining us again today.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here, Rob. Happy to be here. Thanks.
Tom Kemp is chair and professor in the Department of Economics at the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire. We talked to him today about some recent figures on the U.S. economy from 2020, some late year growth, but overall not great, and some sustained unemployment going along with it, and what to watch for as we move on from here.